Hebrews chapter 11 again today. How are y'all doing today? Doing all right? It's good to see you. Today we'll talk about the life of faith and how that faith defeats death. Look at Hebrews 11 verses 20 through 22. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, the key phrase there is things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. These three verses cover a significant part of the book of Genesis. They cover chapters 12 through 50 of Genesis. We're not going to be here that long, okay? So don't get excited about it. But it's, it covers a lot of history in the Bible, these three people. What you have represented here are the generations of Israel. We leave Abraham and we start now with the next three generations after Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Those four men represent four generations in the history of the life of Israel, the nation of Israel as we know it. Now, as we look at this story today from the Bible, what I want you to understand is this, that these men all died without receiving the promise that God had given. But when they died in faith. The book of Psalms puts it this way, that they died in peace and they died in faith. And I like that. The greatest challenge to any person's faith is when we face death. Death is the unknown. Death is the enemy. Death is something that we just don't know everything we know need to know about it. But yet, what we see in the example of these men is that when they came down to face death, that they defeated death through faith. And that's where I want to be. When I face that time in my life and you face that time in your life, we need to face that time with faith and trust. I want to die in peace. I want to die in faith. The challenge here from Hebrews 11 for all of us is that we follow the examples that we see here in this chapter. So, these folks that I'm going to talk about today were not perfect. Isaac had his failures. Jacob had his sins. Joseph had his mistakes. And so, these folks are not perfect. But what it says to all of us is this. They struggle with the same realities in life that we all struggle with. You can see it in all these people. The same struggles that you have are the same struggles they had. But how did they get through the realities of life that bring struggle, that bring setback, that bring disappointment? How did they get through those things? Through faith. And so we find here in the book of Hebrews the example of faith seen in these generations. There's a pattern here in the book of Hebrews. For me as a preacher and a student of the Word, I think is real neat. Because as you go through this chapter, the pattern is repeated over and over and over again. It is introduced with the term by faith. Then you have the name of the person or the example of the situation that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Then the third pattern you see there is the action. In other words, what step of faith did they take? And the Bible talks about that in this chapter. And then you see the result of their faith. The result of the faith of these three that we're going to talk about today is that they finished well. They finished strong. They finished in the way to where what they did when they came to death was to pass on the promise to the next generation. The promise that was passed on is known as the Abrahamic Covenant. And here's the promise. It was the promise of the land of Cana, the land of Israel. There was the promise of the seed, in other words, the promise of Isaac, the promise of the nation of Israel. There was that promise. And then in that covenant, in that agreement that God had with all these patriarchs in the Old Testament, was the promise of spiritual blessings. Now, what that pointed to was one day Jesus Christ would come in the world, that He would be the Savior of the world, and that He would save us from our sins. That was the promise. Now, these folks here, everybody in Hebrews 11, they never saw that promise. But they died in faith, believing and trusting in God and in His promises. As the book of Hebrews says, He is the God who can be trusted. And so they put faith and trust in God. In spite of the circumstance, in spite of the setbacks, in spite of their own failures, in spite of all the difficulties they went through, they had faith and trust in God. And that's what this chapter speaks to us about. I want you to notice, first of all, the promise that the promise given to Isaac, but Isaac's faith in the promise. So let's talk about Isaac's promise, or Isaac's faith that he had. See, what God did with Abraham was this. He gave Abraham the promise. Abraham didn't see the promise fulfilled, but he passed it on to Isaac. Isaac didn't see the promise fulfilled. What did he do? He passed it on to Jacob. Jacob did not see the promise fulfilled, so what did he do? He passed it on to the next generation, the fourth generation, Joseph. But what God did was this. He called out a nation that we know as Israel. He said, I'm going to give you my word. And that's what he did. He gave Israel the word. The Bible writers started writing down God's word. In the New Testament writers wrote down God's word. God gave us His word. But it came through the nation of Israel. What God also gave them in that promise was this. He gave them the promise of a nation, and Israel is a great nation, but He gave them the promise that one day the Savior would be born. But here's what He told Israel in this promise. He said, I'm giving you this privilege of my word. I'm giving you this promise of a great nation. I'm giving you this promise. But your responsibility is to take my word to the world and to reveal my word to the world. That was their responsibility. Now, it comes through generation, through generation, through generation. What are you doing for the next generation? See, that's the question. The next generation that follows you, what have you passed on to them? And so there's that we see here. But Isaac was the promised son. The Bible tells us that Isaac married a wife by the name of Rebekah. And they couldn't have children for whatever reason. I don't know what it was with these patriarchs here, but they had problems in that area. And so they prayed to the Lord, and God answered the prayer. And what happened was this. God blessed Rebekah and Isaac with two sons. It said, they were blessed with two sons. One was Jacob and one was Esau. Jacob would be father of Israel. Esau would be the father of all the Arab nations in the Middle East today. That's where they came from. And in understanding the history of the Bible, if you want to know the conflict in the Middle East today, it's right here in the history of the Bible.
Amen.
And it started between Jacob and Esau, this feud that they had. Because, see, what happened was that Jacob received the birthright. And Esau was really the one in line for it because he was the oldest. But he didn't get it. God told Isaac in the book of Genesis, here is how it's going to be. And he said, the promise is going to come through Isaac. In Isaac's life, what we find is this, that you, and this is true in all of them, you find that place where they really made a commitment to the Lord. They built altars and they prayed to God. Now, the next step here in this line would be Jacob. So let's talk about Jacob's faith. If you know anything about Jacob, you know that his name was changed to Israel. Jacob is known as the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, that's the history of the Bible. That's how that all came about. Do you remember the story of Jacob in the Old Testament when he had this dream? And he had a dream about a ladder, that extended from heaven, going from heaven and coming to earth. And people climbing up the ladder and people climbing down the ladder. In Sunday school, we sang about, Jacob's ladder. That's one of the Sunday school songs. Well, we know that about him. But here's what we know about Jacob. Jacob also was a man who believed in God, who built an altar, who put his faith and trust in God. We know that about him. In the Bible tells us that what happened with Jacob was that he spent all his life, trying to scheme and manipulate situations and turn situations his way. But eventually what he had to learn and come to was this, to trust God in those situations. We can manipulate to try to get the prayer answered our way. We can scheme to try to work things out in our own way. But see, the mistake we make is letting God have His way. And trusting God for His plan. And trusting God for His will. And so, in Jacob, you can just see it in his history. I mean, we don't have time to go into all the history, but there was deception, there was deceit, there were lies that he told, there were situations that, God did not approve of in his life. But yet, the promise was passed on to him. He passed it on to the next generation, and the next generation was Joseph. In Joseph's faith, what we see in Joseph was this. When he was 17 years old, his brothers come up with this plan to sell him into slavery, and basically that's what happened. And they went back and told their father Jacob that what happened to Joseph was that he was killed. He died. The Bible tells us that Joseph was taken down into Egypt, 17 years old. He became a servant in Potiphar's house. He did well as a servant in Potiphar's house, but he was accused of something falsely, something he didn't do. He was accused of that. He spent time in prison for that. When he was in prison, he had a dream. And he told this butler about the dream, and he says, when you see Pharaoh, I want you to tell Pharaoh about this dream and everything. He became one who was known to interpret dreams. And that's what he did. And so Pharaoh had a dream, and he called for Joseph because the butler remembered about Joseph, and he said, I know a guy that can interpret your dream. He brought him in, and he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And what happened in the life of Joseph was this, that he kind of moved up the ladder till he was You know, he was next in line to the Pharaoh of Egypt. When Joseph came down to the end of his life, he died when he was 110 years old. He died in Egypt. But the Bible tells us that what he did, he brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he wanted Jacob to pass on the blessing to them before he died. And what Jacob did was the same thing in the case of Esau and Jacob. Rather than the older one getting the birthright, the younger one, Ephraim, got the birthright, and he got the promise. In the Bible, sometimes when you read about Israel, you read about Israel being Ephraim. Well, that's where it comes through this history. But what's the significance of all this? The significance of all this is this. God was in control of the circumstance. God was in control. You see, we cannot control the circumstances of life that come our way. The only thing that we can control in this big plan that God has and all that you know we do in life, the only thing we can control is our response. Our response to the circumstance. Our response to the difficulty. Our response to the situation that is before us. We studied in Sunday school today about, you know, God, is there a God? And we talked about that in Sunday school. Well, you know, I can preach the Bible about God. You can look in God's creation and you can understand that there is a creator. We can talk about all that and you see the evidence of God, but yet, what is your response? What is your response? What response in all the situations that you see here? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, what did they do? They all responded with faith. And they all responded to trust God for the promise that was handed down from generation to generation to generation. Now, where does that fit in with us? The Bible says that they look for a city whose builder and maker was God. They never saw that city. They never saw the kingdom. They all died before Israel got into the promised land, before the land became the land of Israel. They all died before that happened. So what is the significance there for us? Here's the significance of this story. The same faith that you have in Christ and the same faith that holds us to our trust in the Lord is the same that they had. These folks were saved by faith. They were saved by grace. They were saved by trusting in the promises of God. Now see, the promise we have one day is of heaven. Have you ever seen heaven? I haven't. You haven't. But that is our promise. That is the city that we're looking for. When we come to die, that's where it gets real to us. Where are we going to go? What's going to happen? Is all this stuff that we read about and all this stuff that we put our faith, is it really true? Is the promise true? And it is true. And that is how faith defeats death. Believing in the promise that you have never seen. One day, the promise will be real to each and every one of us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And by faith, we will stand in God's presence, receiving the birthright that He's given to every child of God, which is eternal life in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. And that is a promise that's passed on from generation to generation to generation. That is the faith that we believe. That is the faith that we preach. So over and over again, from these people in the Bible, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, what we learn is this. Follow their example. Put faith in God. Don't doubt His promises. Believe in what God has said. Believe in the promises of the Bible. That's how we face the struggles of the realities of life. That's how we get through. And that's how we make it. The Bible says, by faith they overcame these things. There's a statement that I wanted to give to you here. And here's a way, I guess, to say it. And that is that this is what they believed is what we believe too. Because what we believe is a heaven that holds us to Christ. A heaven that we've never seen. And see, that's what it means to live by faith. What this is a story of grace. And it's a story of faith. It's a story that, you know, where God offers forgiveness. It's a story of His salvation. So that's what it is, a story of. God's promise is clear. And the Word of God is clear. Now, what is our response to it? Well, our response is faith. The hope of the world is in Jesus Christ. If we ever needed hope today, it's the day that we live in. And if we ever need to preach the message of hope, it's certainly today. The world needs hope. This hope is found right here. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you this. Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Where's your belief? Do you have a faith that can defeat death? In Christ, we do. If that's where your faith is. We have a faith that can beat death. Defeat death. You know why? Because for the believer, death is not ending. It's only beginning. That's what it is. It's a beginning of all the promises of that city that is unseen, that we're living for, that we're looking for, one day will be a reality. And with Jesus Christ in your heart and life, when it comes to that time, when you face that time, you can die in peace and you can die in faith, knowing to be absent from this body is to be present with Him. Amen. What great, great promise that is. And I'm looking forward to it. And I know you are too. But you've got to make that decision. It's not automatic. Not automatic. You've got to do something. And what it is to put faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, do that today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for these men of the Bible, these examples that You've given us. When we think about Abraham, and we think about Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, these are real people. These are real people who face the same struggles that we all face. Their life was real. Their life was hard in many situations. Lord, today we have advantages that they didn't have, but yet we still need the same faith. We still need the same trust in You. And Father, I just pray today for those who need to put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that they would make that decision today. Help them to understand that it's not automatic. Help them to understand that it is a decision that they have to make. And Lord, for us today, help us to understand the responsibility that we have to the next generation, to pass on our faith to the next, to the next, to the next. And that's what we see in this story today. Assuming that responsibility, of believing in the promises, and looking to Your Word. Help us, Lord, today to be encouraged and put our faith and trust in You, no matter what we face. In your name we pray. Amen.